Paul Cooney on 850-6597.
Wow. As always on Mondays, the consumer champion Dermot Jewell joins us from the Consumer Association of Ireland. And as a bonus tonight, the All Blacks are coming to town in a fortnight's time. They'll be here the week after next. In Australia, of course, at Lansdowne Road next Saturday. All Blacks roll into town on Sunday week then. And it is the 24th. Now, Alone It Stands is, of course, a well-known theatre production which documents the now legendary story when Munster Rugby played the mighty All Blacks. That was on Halloween 1978. I think there was 300,000 people at the match by the sound of things down the years afterwards. I was there, so was I. No, you weren't, you liar. Munster Rugby, of course, served one of the stories of the century in terms of sport. Beat the All Blacks 12-0. The production comes for one night only to the Bordgash Energy Theatre on Friday the 22nd November. Ah, I like what they've done there. If you'd like a pair of tickets to go along and see that, we've a pair to give away this evening and every evening this week, just text the word All Blacks to us, 57102 for 20 cent. We pick out a winner towards the end of the show. 57102 for 20 cent. And if you're texting about a consumer issue as well, we put you into the draw too. So there's an added bonus for you. Now, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good, you? I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. All right, let's start with this idea of parents being able to vote on whether they want their schools to have a uniform, and if so, what type of uniform should they have? Because this, we get hundreds and hundreds of texts across the year, every year, depending on, you know, going back to school, and the cost. You can go and buy a couple of tops from the department store, and you can argue that maybe the better quality top from the local store might last longer, because we've had that argument as well.
That's true.
But isn't it all about freedom of choice rather than being told you have to buy?
Yeah, that's exactly it, and that's why it's interesting and it's positive to see this happening, whereby parents are to be involved and have a say, which is great. Particularly, there's a great degree out there who want to have something generic because they really have to focus on the cost. There's a lot of discussion coming up and has been, as you say, for quite a long time, not just on the clothing, but on crests and the cost of crests. And if it's the case that, okay, we have to get a crest, fair enough, then can we at least have some help here, some guidance, some reduction, and we'll sew it on just a generic jumper, which is great, because some of the there are really rigid rules in some of the schools. I mean, I was looking at just one of the ones, just a simple thing, but there are probably always reasons for them. But having black shoes is one thing, but black shoes that had to have black soles.
Wow.
So you see where even small little issues, you go, hang on,
that's not about.
I don't know. There's obviously a reason.
Because some of the girls get in with Labutin and the red
very
sole.
Possibly,
you know, my shoes cost €600.
Yeah.
Hardly. But,
so it's a way of keeping them out of the classroom. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And what else then? What other issues? I suppose the first thing would be decide whether or not we want a uniform. That'd be a bit strange. If it's a mandatory vote and you have, say, a school that's well known, well, as all schools are, I suppose, but that has well known for its uniform and the vote goes against it, that'll be a huge slap in the face.
It would be massive. You're entirely right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Very, very much so. Because, in all honesty, a lot of the schools pride themselves on their uniform and how well all of their pupils look.
Right.
And particularly when not just in the classroom, but when they're visiting away from the classroom and going to, well, for so many areas that school children visit now outside of the school. So there's a pride in it. A lot of them thought long and hard about this. There are a huge amount of pluses for having uniforms. Many, many parents have voiced their opinion so much that it saves them a fortune, in the sense of they've just one uniform to prepare for the week and for all of the weeks, as opposed to a whole variety of different clothing. Now, on the other side of it, there are other parents out there saying, hang on a minute, no, we've got children who are, they're not dressing up in fashion, etc. They're just going in ordinary clothes and they're very happy and comfortable.
Does that risk turning into a fashion show?
I think it does. It's like it harks to communion. It you know, you can see the thing twisting around. The goal here, I think, and is probably the one that's going to win, is the goal here is to have, yes, a lot of people are happy with uniforms, provided that are at a reasonable price. And that's why you would not have parents saying, oh yeah, let's suddenly vote for a uniform. Are you crazy? Who's got that kind of money at these prices today? So it's got to change. If they are going to have a uniform, there's got to be an agreement on price.
So is
and
there,
quality, I suppose, too. But
you know,
price
just in fairness, there are people listening who could be running small shops now that have been in the family, and you know, they earn a living. They
for many moons, yeah.
selling school uniforms. And are we being a bit hard sort of saying, well, hang on, schools are getting in touch and doing deals with these companies. You know, are they not putting together a quality product, albeit it is more expensive than the generic shop brand. And is there no way that there could be companies could meet with the schools and say, look, it costs X, here's why it costs X, but we can get it down to Y if you decide that we go with this material instead of that material? Or is that nonsense? Is that all?
No, I think that's what needs to happen, is because the problem is that some of the uniforms are so expensive, it's very, very difficult for parents to keep up with it. And most importantly, with growing children, if they're very expensive and you've got to buy one, a minimum of one every year, then you really outlay of money.
You probably have to buy two pairs of trousers.
Of course you would, and skirts and what else.
Two or three shirts. Actually, there's a good question for people listening at the moment. Maybe text us how much your uniform cost. What was the most you ever paid out for school uniform? 57102 for 20 Central. We maybe get some sort of an idea. And Peter said, it's not a vote to wear uniforms. It's a vote allowing parents to buy the uniforms in shops and then saw a crest on instead of them having to pay around €300 for a uniform with a crest on it. There Unbelievable, those prices. And Amy Bennett, though, says, I think uniforms should be kept. It's the crest and overpriced uniforms that are the problems. The crest items can be crazy, but my little girl started junior infants this year, and for uniform tracksuit, coat, runner shoes and all, it costs less than €100, which is far cheaper for me to go out and buy them a new uniform of clothes for school.
Very good. And this is it. We're just saying that this is the point. It's all coming down to, you know, yes, we appreciate it looking right, but if the money is right, that's important. And the money has become much more of an issue naturally in recent years because it's crippling parents.
Absolutely,
who are already buried under a barrage of different costs and increases over everything.
And I wouldn't mind, but uniforms can look great too.
Sense
of pride in the wearer, sense of pride in the school. But it's also that double-edged whammy as well. Who threw that stone? That's him. I see a school uniform. Quick.
It's true. There's no escape. Yeah, I know.
Headmaster. So there could be an element of that as well. Anyway, let us know what you paid for a school uniform. The most amount, or maybe the best price you got. 57102 for 20 cent. And we will read some more of them out a little bit later on. Let's go to the phones now. Michael is here. Michael's from Condor. Hi, Michael.
Thanks.
Good. What's the story? What's happening?
Well, basically, last year I bought a mobile phone for an 18-month contract, and after about 9 months, I started having problems with it. So basically, it started freezing, rebooting on its own. So I called up the company that I bought it from and asked them for some help. And they said to have it into the repair company that they were sending it to themselves. Okay. And basically, handed it in the first time, got it back about 2 weeks later. That problem was solved, but there was another one. So I went back in a while later, and basically I went back about three times, and every time I got it back, there was always another problem. So in the meantime, I asked the company, what am I supposed to do in the meantime about a phone? Because I need the phone for my jobs, because I require emails.
Mm.
So they said I had to just get a replacement in the meantime and use that. Luckily, I had a friend that was able to lend me one. So I ended up using that one for about 4 or 5 months in total.
Wow.
On the fourth go, when I handed it in for repairs, they said that there was a vibrating problem, but they couldn't fix that because until there was a crack that had to be fixed first, which was going to cost me 110. So I ended up just saying, I called them up about 5 or 6 times asking, look, I'm having all these issues with my phone. I haven't been able to use it for about 4 or 5 months. Is there any way you can just let me out of the contract so I can stay with you, no problem, just get a new phone that actually works?
Yeah.
And they refused to.
God.
Because I was still in contract.
So, and why did you keep the contract, but we won't give you a phone that works?
Yeah, basically said, like, look, I don't mind staying with you, just can I please get a new phone that actually works? Because I require emails, I've got a couple of jobs, and they all require me to be on the go.
Yes.
And I need one. And I don't want to have to keep using a friend's one because he actually needs someone back at some point.
All right, what does Michael do?
Well, I mean, Michael, I really understand your difficulty here. And the problem is, just to get one thing right, one of the times that you left the phone in for repair, they gave you a replacement and you had the replacement for 4 to 5 months.
No, they never gave me a replacement. I had to borrow one off a friend.
And what was their reason for not being able to repair the phone within 4 to 5 months?
Well, basically, they gave me a copy of every single time I got it fixed, and they kept saying, this has been fixed, this has been fixed, we've updated you with latest software. Right. And about 2 weeks later, there'd be another problem.
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha.
I mean, it started off with being a matter of, it was freezing, it would reboot, I tried turning it off and it would automatically reboot. I plugged the charger in, it would stop charging.
Yeah.
I'd unplug it and it would start charging again. So, the second time, I think it just kept vibrating and there was another issue. And then I just kept asking the company, like, can I please just get a phone that works? And they just said, so they said, I'm sorry, but in the meantime, you're still in contract. Mm. We can't give you a new phone until your contract's over. And if I wanted to get a new phone, I had to buy after the contract, which I actually ended up having to do about 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Because I was sick of waiting.
Don't blame you. Okay, so what do we do?
Well, Michael, what I would recommend to you, there are a couple of things that we're going to recommend. One of them will take too long because you'll probably be close to the end of your contract by it. What I suggest you do is I don't know how you're contacting them, but perhaps ring them or text them or whatever, or email them, whatever it is that the means you have of contacting them, and telling them that you've been speaking to Aidan and myself, and that we're amazed and absolutely stunned at their total lack of consideration of consumer law, which clearly, there's no question, is showing that this is just a phone not of good quality. And
yeah,
there's a requirement.
I emailed them last week saying that I was, and I wanted to get it sorted out, but I had been talking to a professional that knew about consumer rights. Before I went down that road, could they sort something out with me?
Right.
They said that they'd get back to me within 24 to 48 hours, and that was about 4 or 5 days ago.
And nothing happened?
No, haven't heard back.
Okay. Well, then, unfortunately, the only thing you can do is write to them and tell them that you're going to refer the matter through to the small claims court.
Right.
Now, the reason I said earlier on is it's going to take quite a while because the small claims court is somewhat inundated with problems,
yeah,
which tells you just how bad our country is for helping consumers. But it is the best thing you do. It's a small amount of money. I would be very, very shocked if it did not find in your favour, because this is a very poor quality of phone and it's a really poor quality of service that you're getting. And it's important that this company ultimately be named for its really bad service.
All right, so go with that and come back to us next week. Let us know how you get on.
All right, that's great. Thanks.
Cheers, Mike. Thank you very much.
Mike.
Thank you.
Bye.
This is Dublin's Q102. Keep those calls and texts coming into us. 57102 for 20 cent is our text line number, and 850-6597 is our line into studio.
Call Cooney. Have your say on 850-6597 or text 57102 for 20 cent.
Dublin's Q102.
Now, Elaine has been on via text. I have 3 girls in secondary school. I like the uniforms. It tells the schools apart. Don't like the tracksuits. My girls' school's wearing the uniform and then have to change for PE and then change out again after half an hour. To our waste of time for the kids and a waste of money to us. I don't get back to school money. Keep the uniform. Make it the costs more reasonable. Keep it down, in other words. Basically,
down.
A lot of people beginning to say that again via text and echoing Elaine Malone's comments there. Malone, it stands coming to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre on the weekend that the mighty All Blacks will be in town to play Ireland at the Aviva. They're going to perform, the actors, that is, are going to perform a lot of stands in the Bord Gáis Theatre on Friday the 22nd on Halloween night in 78, of course, Munster Rugby, famous win over the All Blacks. At a national level, we still have to beat them, and wouldn't this be the time to put one over them? But anyway, we've 2 tickets all this week to give away. If you want to get in it, just text the word All Blacks to us, 57102 for 20 cent, and we draw a winner at the end of the show. And also, if you text us about a consumer problem as well, we'd put you in that draw too, and somebody would be going on to the Bord Gáis Theatre. Now, Laura was with us last week, and Laura had an issue with hair extensions. You remember, Dermot?
Oh.
She went along to a lady,
yeah,
who was recommended.
That's
to
right.
her, and it didn't go down too well.
Right.
And you weren't happy at all, Laura. Sure you weren't?
No, I wasn't, Aidan. It's still not sorted out, to be honest.
Oh, great, okay.
Oh.
So I went back to her. I don't know where I left you last week, but I went back to her and I said, you know, that this wasn't on and I was going to, you know, kind of go down the legal route if it wasn't sorted.
Yep.
And she gave me, she asked me to ring, like, kind of her boss in the UK. And I just said, well, look, you know, I have a major problem ringing an English number. Can you get him to ring me,
yeah,
if it's him that I need to sort this out? And she said, yeah, he's going to sort your refund. So he rang me. No, he didn't ring me. I was waiting for him all day to ring me, and then I ended up ringing him just to try and get it sorted.
Right.
And he was so rude. He was just basically saying, you know, we tested the hair and it came back as you mistreated it.
Okay.
And I said, what hair did you send off? And he said, your hair. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And he said, we sent off your hair, the hair that was in your, you know, that we put into your head. And I said, well, that's funny because it's actually still in my house. It wasn't even my hair that they had sent off.
Very good.
So he basically said, oh, look, you know, that must have been another client. Look, we can't give you a refund. We'll give you a replacement. And I said, look, that's not acceptable. I have my hair short now. And he just said, OK, well, look, I look forward to hearing from your solicitors. Bye, love. And he hung up.
Wow.
Wow.
Ooh, oh, okay, let's go.
I got back in touch with this woman here today, and I just said, look, I really can't afford to go down the solicitor route. However, it'll cost me 20 quid to go to the small claims court.
Yeah.
And she said just to give her a week till next Monday, and she's going to try and sort this out.
Ah, okay, that sounds like it gave her a little bit of a warning.
Yeah.
She hopefully will do something. Now, while that's bubbling on, can we be ready to meet that head on? I need another week, or should it be another stalling tactic?
Yeah, I was just about to say, hiya, Laura. I was just about to say, I don't think they deserve another week. I really don't. But you've agreed to it, and that's very reasonable.
Yeah.
But what I would do, just to explain this, and there's every possibility, I'm hoping, that somebody may be listening to the show from this organisation. The bottom line of it is, your contract is with a lady here in Dublin, and Irish law prevails. And any individual, no matter how jumped up he might want to be in the UK,
or ignorant,
has nothing whatsoever to do or say or contribute except, yes, your refund is waiting for you. So,
yeah, and I did say that to her today, and she said, look, I need to sort this out. So I think she kind of realises that it is between me and her.
Yeah.
And I said to her, look, I always got on with you. I thought you were a lovely girl. I don't want to do this, you know, so do the decent thing and just kind of try and sort me out.
Yeah, exactly.
This really shouldn't be happening. Look at the grief you've gone through now for a number of weeks.
It's gone on like 4.5 months.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely outrageous. So, as I say, if you don't mind, if you would do it on my behalf as opposed to anything else, it would not go astray, I think, to ring the lady and tell her. And she can tell her to come onto our website, which is thecai.ie, tomorrow, and she can hear the playback of this show, which I say that you shouldn't have had to have waited any more than the week that's just gone past.
Yeah.
But if this matter is not resolved next Monday, well, I promise you, I personally will have more to say about it, and that organisation or that person a lot of people will know about them, because this is absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry you had to put the call in yourself, which is unbelievable, and then to be met with such arrogance and rudeness. So
I know, he was so rude.
Take no prisoners beyond. I know you're talking about Monday. This should be over and done and finished by
Friday.
Yeah,
she said, look, I will be in touch with you as soon as I can get it sorted, but will you just give me a week? And I said, look, that's fine, fair enough.
Good for you.
Will you come back to us next week and let us know?
Yeah.
Good on you, Laura.
Thanks very much.
Okay,
thanks, guys.
See you, Laura.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah, like, I mean, the strokes people try and pull. You know, I've talked to my boss, but you don't work for him. You buy stuff off him and then resell it.
Yeah,
you know,
this is it.
It's not your boss.
Do it, your boss.
He's just a supplier. He's just a supplier. There's I just wanted to run by him. The Central Bank of Ireland has issued warnings on unauthorised firms, okay?
Oh, yes.
So today they published the name of a CMBS portfolio is not authorised by the Central Bank to provide any financial services.
Hmm.
A list of unauthorised firms is available on the Central Bank website. Why is this even happening? Why are the guards not in closing down these guys? How in hell's name can we have these cowboys in providing financial services when they don't have licences? Why aren't they in jail?
It's a very good point, because the moment it's been found out that a company is trading, now perhaps they're only trading online or something, I don't know if they're not in premises, but if, as you say, if they are in premises, the premises should have been raided and closed now.
Right.
Whatever, the moment the Central Bank recognised this.
Okay.
Issuing a warning is probably to alert people who may have gone the route or may be in danger of getting calls.
Okay.
But I'd like, in fairness, I've read a couple of things in this, but it never said how they're trading, just that they seem to be. But you're entirely right. If they're here in premises in any shape or form, this is ridiculous.
So if you were offered a financial service, whether it's buying life assurance, whether it's investing a few bob that you might have been lucky enough to be left, or maybe it's a few having savings, check. who the source is.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a vital importance. Because if anything goes wrong, the investor compensation scheme won't be eligible. Is that right
We have in Ireland a scheme run by what's known as the Investor Compensation Company Limited, right. ICCL, and you can always go to the ICCL website here. But bottom line, any company that's taking money from consumers and offering to invest it must be registered and approved by the Central Bank of Ireland, and that's what's happening here. Because if you give your money and a company fraudulently takes it and abuses it and loses it, then the whole point of the Investor Compensation Company is that there is a fund there that's funded by all of the investment companies from which you can get a maximum of €20,000. Now, that may be nothing if you've put in €100,000 or €200,000 and you're only going to get the 20, but that just gives you an indication of just how difficult life is out there. But yes, as you say, Aidan, you cannot be careful enough. And it's the easiest thing to do. If somebody says, how you doing? I'm this company and we're trading. You say, fine, give me a minute. And you just check, are they there? Are they registered?
Central Bank will tell you.
Central Bank are right up to date in that regard. They will tell you if they are or not.
Okay, we're going to hear from a man who has not a problem with one iPhone 5. He has a problem with two iPhone 5s.
That's out of 10?
That's coming up. I don't think he's given a 10 out of 10 at this point. So. All right. 57102 for 20 cent, by the way, is a text line number.
Call Cooney. Have your say on 850-6597. Or text 57102 for 20 cent.
Dublin's Q102.
We're going to hear from Colm now. He and his wife bought an iPhone 5 each last October and, well, basically never worked. Dropping calls, internet Wi-Fi problems. Colm, evening to you.
How you doing? Good. Dermot, how you doing?
Good. Well, tell us what's happening.
Well, we bought them there, that's 2 months ago, and every time we tried to use them, we were dropping calls and internet was being lost, and you'd have to stand beside the modem to receive Wi-Fi. So I've been on to 3 numerous times, maybe between 15 and 20 times. So they've asked us then to bring the phones over to the phone vendors in Dundalkin, which they replaced them. We were told that they'd be new phones. I'm not sure about that though, but we've recently got them back and same thing happened again. So it was just going on and on and on, and then I rang again, told them the same thing was happening, and they told us then, okay, try a few things. So we tried a few things again, it's still happening. So I rang them again, then they told us to bring the phone back over again to phone vendors and they'd replace it. So we're now on our 6th phone, as you would say. Like, I'm on my 3rd and my wife is on our 3rd. But in the last week or so, she has got her phone sent back to get a full refund.
Right.
Right.
So,
and you want a refund too, I presume, do you?
Well, I basically, all I want is, I want a phone to use.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Makes sense.
One that works.
So, I'm not getting anywhere quick with the situation. They rang my wife, but I think they're refusing to ring me because I've possibly more or less threatened them to go down this road in relation to going to courts and stuff and things like that.
Yeah. And, Colm, just to get this right in my mind now, obviously I'm saying the obvious here, but when you move away from where your home is or where all your calls are dropping and the internet's lost, do the phones function outside there? In other words, is it in any way the service provision to your home?
No, yeah, you're right. They asked that question as well. Is it just basically based in the home or is it everywhere? And I said, it's
everywhere.
Everywhere it is. It's very annoying because you'd be talking to a person and they'd actually think you were being rude. You'd actually lose them.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
And next minute, you'd be saying hello, 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 and the call would be gone and they'd be saying hello, I assume.
Right, yes.
And it's just annoying, and I'd say people would be saying, God, he's very rude, you know, and things like that, you know.
So, no, it's not good. It's not good at all.
No, it's not good at all. What so it's at a situation where I'm actually afraid to use the phone because you'd be dropping your calls, and then little messages would come up to say that internet has been lost and can't access mail or something like that or whatever. I have them all on pictures, you know, and I've sent them off.
Yeah,
2, 3, you know, but
and tell me this, Colm, when you've got these new phones, replacement phones, Are they in the fully sealed iPhone, Apple boxes?
No.
And
no.
They're not?
Mm. No, which led me to believe or to think that the phone was like a refurbished phone or something.
It is. That's not a replacement phone. That's just not. It's a replacement phone. It's not a replacement new phone.
New phone, yeah. That's what I thought now as well.
No, what do we do? How can we move this forward?
Well, I would tell them, Colin, that you've been speaking to myself and Aidan, and that we want to hear back from you, that you are not, you have not, neither you nor your wife, clearly, although maybe we don't have to be too concerned about your wife, because we're assuming that she's going to get a full refund, which will allow her to go somewhere else and buy a working phone.
Yeah.
But in your case, I too would insist that you get a full refund, either that or a brand new phone in a box sealed. It's one or the other. And I really wouldn't go beyond that. That's what you want. And you really need it now. Because okay. we would ask, I'd be asking you to, if you would come back to us next Monday and to tell them that you're coming back to us next Monday.
So you're saying to ring them back again?
Yes. And tell them that you've been speaking to us and that they're in clear breach of the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act. You've got phones that are not of good quality. They're not fit for their intended purpose. And therefore, you know, they break every rule of consumer law that's there.
Yeah, well, that's true. Because, yeah, we were on to Apple as well, and it's not Apple's concern. I rang Consumer Affairs last week, and they were saying that the sale of goods were from three. So it's their issue.
That's right. It is their issue and it's their responsibility. So I would make the point to them that they need to understand that this won't go away, but that most importantly, and you know, if you like, you'd be quoting me, that apart from either a full refund or a replacement with a brand new sealed phone in a box.
Yeah, is that even in a full refund in relation to the last 2 months I've been charged for the phone that wasn't working?
Well, that's exactly it. They need to go beyond that because you have to. You cannot be out of pocket on this. It's not your fault. Arguably, it's theirs. They can, if they've a problem with their phones, they can take it up with whoever. Like they can take it up with Apple, etc. They won't be out of pocket, not for a moment. But
yeah,
you are.
The issue that they're saying, that I'm saying to them, is that the network keeps dropping, and they've done a test recently on it, and they done it, well, it was about 2 weeks ago, one weekend they did a test, and apparently they found nothing wrong with the network. So which I should have said from then was, well, why didn't you test it at the time?
Earlier on, yeah, of course.
Absolutely, yes.
Previously, like when the phone wasn't working, so...
Yeah. All right, the thing though is, give them that call and come back to us on Monday.
But I would give them the call and tell them that the clock is ticking on this and we want you back here explaining that, you're confirming that you're happy that the matter has been resolved. And any waffle about we'll need days or weeks or anything, that's not there.
No.
It's a phone company. They have phones. They just give you a new one. It takes a minute.
Yeah.
It's over.
Someone
you
make
know.
The right decision. Good luck with
okay,
that call.
Listen, just one more question.
Yeah.
If, for instance, they don't want to take it any further or deal with it, what do you think I should do then?
Well, there's no question you will be then forced almost to take the matter up with this through the small claims procedure.
Well, but, that's what I thought then, yeah.
But that's going to take a while. So that's why... It'd be nice if you can come back to us next Monday, Colin, because I suppose the best way I'll put it to you, we'll try to insinuate ourselves in the middle of this somewhere next week if it's not sorted
out. Cheers, Colin.
Because it should have been.
Thanks for that, Colin. Cheers.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, we have a unprincipled private residence issue with Eileen. Talk to you about that in a moment.
Call Cooney. Weekdays from 6 p.m. on Dublin's Q102.
All right, welcome back. Now, of course, while the property tax has been debated and discussed and continues to be debated and discussed, there are people who bought properties to let, to rent, people who bought a second home, maybe as a holiday home, and these guys have also been hit with the NPPR charge of €200 per property. Let's hear from Eileen, who is onto our line.
Hi, Dermot Nathan. My name is Eileen. I spoke to you a few months ago about the NPPR. You told me to get in touch with my local councillor, which I did. But he didn't resolve anything for me. In fact, he never got back to me. I don't know if you remember the story or not, but I paid my tax 2009-2010. I inadvertently forgot to pay it in 2011. I rang up in 2012 to see when it was due, and that's when I discovered they were fining me every month for it. I asked why they didn't send me out a bill or a reminder, and they said that it was a charge and not a tax, and they weren't obliged to do that. But they had my email address because they could email me straight away. And also, I wanted to point out that the property tax, which came into action this year for 6 months, this MPPR is a yearly tax. And when the property tax replaced it, which they told me it was replacing it, they still charged me for a whole year with the MPPR plus the other 6 months. So, in fact, they charged me double tax and everybody else, I'm sure, in the country for 6 months. So I just wondered if you could give me a hand with this. I'd be very grateful. Thank you.
Oh, that's a tricky one. You're caught in layers of bureaucracy there, aren't you?
Massive. Massive.
And you see, the problem with the Revenue Commissioner is this. You can't win.
No, they're fairly set in their ways. There's no two ways about it. I can't help but feel now at this stage that probably the best thing for Eileen to do, I'm not saying she hasn't done it, but I know she did try with her local representative.
He couldn't be asked to do anything.
I think it would be a good idea for her to go and actually try to meet with somebody from Revenue. I mean, she comes, she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
She's very clear, she's very succinct, she knows, she feels that there's a problem there, and she should be able to go and talk to them.
And maybe appeal to their better nature, sort of saying, well, hang
absolutely,
on.
Absolutely, yeah.
But they not just say to you what the law says?
They can and they may. There are two situations there. One where there's a charge that built up over her forgetting, if you like, to pay a bill. And even perhaps that part of it might be able to be negotiated or reduced or waived. And then it can go into the other element and the other issue. Because the other issue does come across as a kind of a
mistake.
A serious bubbling under one.
Yeah.
Which just might end up having to go either...
Could prove very costly if you don't nip this in the bud
It would make sense that if it's in writing to the Revenue that they have to investigate it, because you never know which direction this would go. But I must say, at the heart of this, what amazes me is this representative didn't come back, because this is an issue that public representatives should be taking.
No, vote
about.
For that person next time out, and tell as many people as you can about who he or she is.
So I'd suggest to Eileen as well that she goes to the opposition, whoever else is there. I'd say they'd be only too glad.
Yeah.
A, to hear what has not happened from the other representative.
Yeah.
And also to take up the issue, because it does come across. I mean, we discussed this before. It's very unusual. As I say, she it will serve her right and well to speak to the Revenue, try to resolve that element of the charges per month, because she personally has to sort that one. The other element is very different.
All right, Eileen, there. That's the best advice you could get. So head off, talk to your other local representative, and maybe ring the Revenue Commissioners. They are pretty accessible and approachable now, and make an appointment to go in and see the local tax office.
Absolutely,
see what
they
can do for you there. Okay, have we time for one more? I think we have, and I think Jennifer's here. It's another phone problem. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. Phone from O2 last May. You've had nothing but trouble, and you were on last week. What happened?
Well, I rang them and I said I'd been on to you, and I thought I had them running scared for a while, and it seemed to be going good. And I was told that a supervisor of the Dublin area was going to ring me and help me get my refund. And when I got the call, it was actually a sales assistant from the store. And he said he could make no decision for me. And he hadn't even realised that that's what I was calling for.
Oh, boy.
And then they got in touch with me on Facebook today after 4 days of telling me that I had to wait for an update from someone. And then the update came today saying that the phone manufacturer had decided that they were going to give me a new, more expensive phone. But I'm really worried to take it now, because I know if I do, O2 will wash their hands of it and say that it didn't come from them, it came from the company. So what should I do?
Well, the did you have to pay for the phone in the first instance, Jennifer?
The first one I paid for, yes.
You actually paid for the phone?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's okay. This is just a replacement phone in your contract. So that your contract is with them. And even if the phone something was to go wrong, hopefully it won't now, but even if something was to go wrong, it is still your contract with them and they have to honour everything to do with it because they are the ones who have negotiated the phone replacement, not yes. you.
So you think so it's okay to take the phone?
You'll be okay to take the phone.
And is it a phone you particularly like?
Well, it's just an upgrade of the same model that I have. That's what worries me.
No, okay. the kind of key issue here now is, this is where you need to decide, if you don't want it and you don't trust it,
yes.
then say it now and say, no, not taking that.
Want a different model completely, or different.
It's either this or the contract stops and we start again and with a whole different phone.
Okay.
But see what you go. As I say, in all honesty, because you really do sound now very reticent about this. If you don't want this phone, don't walk into that pit.
What's plan B now? If you say to them, "Listen, not happy with the offer. Don't particularly want that model phone. Would like this model phone, or would like or what?"
Yeah, you need to give them an alternative because they'll say, "Well, look, we're replacing the phone. What more do you want?"
Yeah.
And all you have to say is, "I don't want that model of phone. I've learned my lesson. I want another one."
Oh, to be honest, I don't even want to be their customer anymore. The service that I got from them was abrupt and rude that I just thought, well, screw you, I'll go to someone else.
Anyway, what contract is that?
And have you long of a contract to run?
Oh, no, I'm prepay, so I can leave whenever I want.
Oh, happy days.
Yes.
Oh, okay, right. Well, then...
I'll take the phone and then run.
Yeah, that's the point now. Take the phone. Yeah.
That's what I
If I take the phone and change server, if something goes wrong with it, can I still go back to them and tell them it's their fault?
Yeah. Because, as I say, they're the ones replacing the phone for you. I know the contract is out, but let's look at it the other way now. Let's turn this on its head. This is a phone that comes with a normal manufacturer's guarantee.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Yeah, you're covered by that.
That's okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Good on you, Jennifer. Right.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Have a wonderful evening.
And you thanks very much.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye. Bye, 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 bye. That's great. Isn't it lovely?
Yeah,
nice to see somebody come out, hopefully, on a win-win side. The supermarket survey that's on your website. Talk to me a little bit about that, please.
What we're trying to do is to get people to come to our website. There are only four very short yes or no questions.
Click. How long will it take you? A couple of minutes?
Most it will take us 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And would you please just come to our website and do it? Because we want to lobby on this stuff. And the more that are there, the more the merrier.
And what's the nature of the survey this time?
Basically, what we're trying to find out is if people have been overcharged and did they realise it and what happened and by how much were they overcharged and what happened. Because we keep getting complaints fairly irregularly saying, I was supposed to get two for the price of one. I ended up paying them both.
I think we'll make that the theme of next Monday's show.
Happy days.
All right, we'll ask our listeners to ring us in and tell us their experiences from the different supermarkets that they've been involved in, if it has happened, or, you know, how it was resolved, what the management of the store said, and how it ended up. And I think then you can take some of that, you can correlate your survey
and
come back to us then with the results when the time is
perfect.
The time is right. Okay, the website, please.
thecai.ie. thecai.ie.